Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word that says when two or more are gathered in your name that you're with them. Lord, it just feels so good to be here with family. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you have chosen us. I'm thankful, Lord, that you bless us. I'm thankful, God, for your grace and your mercy, for your love for us. I thank you that I can even sit in here this morning and watch your Holy Spirit knit everything together. This is so amazing. I am constantly in a state of awe of your majesty and of your love for us and how you don't even miss the slightest of details, God. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that nothing goes without you knowing about it. And so this morning we just come together and we just cast away the cares of the world, our schedules, our bills, our finances, our work, our relationship issues. Lord, we just set it all aside and we just focus on you and your word and, Lord, your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. And for all of our family members who are not here today, I pray you would just bless them, God. Bring them encouragement. Lord, I know there are so many of us that are struggling, and I just ask that you would meet them in their very need this morning. And just fill their homes, Lord, their hearts, wherever they're at, with just a sense of peace and your love. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so obviously you can tell we have a tradition that we participate in every year, which is Advent. And I'll explain that first because we have our Advent wreath here. And Advent in the Latin means coming. And what we do is we take the four Sundays before Christmas and we set them aside as something kind of a special celebration that we're looking forward to the coming of Christ. So every week we will pick a candle, we'll name the candle, something that is representative of Jesus, and we'll light the candle, we'll share a verse that goes with it, and so I'll probably be asking one of you guys, some of you guys, to do that as we go forward. And then who can tell me, what does the green represent? Do you remember from last year? Does anybody know? What does the green in the Advent wreath represent? Life, yeah, eternal life, right? Life. So we have life. We have a circular, it's a ring, so there's no beginning, there's no end, because we do serve the Alpha and the Omega, who is the beginning and the end, right? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we have purple, the candles, three purple candles, and purple has always been representative of royalty, right? So absolutely. But we have one candle that's pink that stands out, and it always has the same name. And it's the third Sunday of Advent, and do you know what the name is? Joy, right? Okay, so you're with me. You're tracking. It's awesome. So we have our three candles, which represent royalty. We have the pink that is joy, and then finally we have the white, and white symbolizing purity. And the white candle we will light on the Christmas Eve, at the Christmas Eve service, and that's our Christ candle in the center. And so being Advent, and quickly, I wasn't here last week, and we had a praise report, and I wanted to, Stacy really wanted to share it, but then she kept saying, well, if I say this, then I'm going to take away from your message. But if I say this, oh, you're going to deal with this in your message. So she couldn't share it. So I'm going to share it with you guys in a few moments of something that happened last week that was really significant. But it snuck up on me. I didn't realize this Sunday was already the first Sunday of Advent. I mean, I don't know where this year has gone, but so I decided that I would start the tradition and that I was going to take the first candle and I was going to name it Peace, okay, because we serve the Prince of Peace, and I'll share that in just a few moments. So today we're going to, and I'll share the scriptures that I have that support that. So beginning our Advent tradition, we're going to start with Peace. So with that, I'll share it with you. The verse that I chose to support that was Isaiah 26:3, and it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you." So think about that for just a second. Jesus will keep you in perfect peace as you learn to trust him. Why freak out? Why stress out? Really, Scripture tells us, what can worrying do? Can it add a single second to our lives? Can worrying about anything change the circumstance? No. It's a sin, in fact, we're told. And so what we need to do is learn how to just trust God. Because you guys know, as Steve was sharing about Romans and themes, Romans tells us that all things work together, right? I mean, we know all have fallen short, and that God will always work everything for our good, whether we see it as good or not. We need to be able to trust Him. But so we start our Advent tradition today, and we also start, this is something that I brought from our old church that was brought from my pastor's old, this has been a very long-standing tradition, which is our Jesse tree. And from this, it's Isaiah. We share a lot of verses during the Christmas season from Isaiah. Isaiah is a powerful book. And so this comes from Isaiah 11:1, and I put it on the bulletin, the little picture, and it says, "A shoot will spring forth from the stump of Jesse, a branch out of his roots." That's a very significant thing. Have you guys ever had a junk tree in your yard? And you cut down the junk tree, and what happens? Somehow that bugger grows these little shoots off, and you just can't kill that thing. I had two box elder trees in my front yard, and they grew, and I as I saw them sprout, I thought, check it out, we got trees, because our aspens were dying. And I thought, I'm so excited. And then I watched these things grow like no other. And then they grew, and they produced these beautiful leaves, and then they started to even shade the front part of my house, and I was thrilled. I couldn't have been happier, because I like trees, and I like shade. And so I was so excited until we started getting these box elder bugs. And I'm like, where did these things come from? I don't get it. And then we would start getting more, and then more. And then we had youth at our house, and we went to go sit in the lawn. And when you go to sit in the lawn and the lawn scurries, you're like, oh, crud. And so then we go out, and on the south side of my house, I went out there one day, and it was box elder bugs. I went, I have to cut these beautiful trees down. So of course I cut them down. I played we got out my chainsaw, chopped them down, chopped up the stump, and those trees would not die. They just kept sprouting and sprouting, and I thought, how am I going to get rid of these things? Well, I finally paid a dude to come with a big grinder, and he just shredded it and my sprinkler pipes and everything else in the whole thing. But we got rid of them. And then the box elder bugs disappeared. And then my neighbor behind me had a whole slew of them that were growing up, and I'm like, dude, cut those down. Cut those down. And do you think he did? No. Yeah, well, and I told him, I said, I warned you, they're coming. And so he ended up cutting them down, which I was very, very happy about. But the reason I share that is because a stump signifies kind of death, a cutting, a doing away with. And here it says that nothing can separate us from God. And God is omnipotent. He's powerful. Nothing will ever conquer over God. And here we have this stump that brings forth a shoot, signifying life. So what we do with our Jesse tree is I usually go find a tree, and we've had this. This is a first for me. We've had this thing for 3 years? 3 years. And I crawled up in the little attic space yesterday and pulled it down, and it started to kind of break. And I was like, oh no, I'm losing it. But the reason I chose this tree specifically is because if you look, you can see all these buds. And I love this because you and I know I don't like winter in Salt Lake. I don't like it because everything dies. It's ugly. It's gray. It's smoggy. And it's, the snow gets black, and it's just, I don't like it. But when you look at these trees, you see these buds, you know that this too shall pass. This season will pass. I see buds which represent life. There is life. Well, there was until I hacked it. But there was life in this tree. And the buds show that, and they give me hope. And so the Jesse tree is really a way to tell the story of God over 4,000 years in the Old Testament. And we connect the Advent season with this in the coming. We know when we look at the buds, spring is coming. Life is coming. And so we take this tree, and again, there's a verse from Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." And so we take this tree as a symbol of Christ and who we've been given the promise of his coming, the promised Messiah to save the people. And so we'll take the tree, and each week, now it's your turn, I want to encourage you to make an ornament. And then we're going to take each Sunday, the following three Sundays, and in our announcement time or beforehand, we'll share our ornament. And what I want you to do is have a verse. And this year, I'm going to say, try to dig, let's be creative, and I want you to go back into the Old Testament. Give me an Old Testament ornament, okay? And so I kept one, and I don't remember when this was made. It's been a little bit, but we have a cool little sneaker with a snake underneath it, under the heel, okay? A little bejeweled Converse. This is our interpretation, right? But it's from Genesis 3:15 that says, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And so again, we see that this is a sign all the way back in Genesis of Jesus who's coming. And even though Satan thinks he's got it when Jesus is crucified, we know the story that no, he doesn't. And so Kathleen, I'm not sure if Kathleen probably made it. Kevin, I doubt Kevin probably put a pink, or a purple. Did he? Did you? Awesome. Well, I love it. So we're going to hang it. This has been one of my favorite ornaments. And so we have it from Genesis 3 and 15, and then we have obviously a cross, which we see as a representation of Christ. So each week I'll give you guys an opportunity to come up and prepare an ornament and share it with us. So with that, kids, you guys may go back to your Sunday school class, and then I'll finish with the message. So we'll take a quick second if you guys want to go and gather. Today, I love this. I love the opportunity to do the first Sunday of Advent. I love it because it really encompasses the complete essence, really, of our faith, the way I choose to do this, from the beginning to the end. Today being the first Sunday, we name the candle Peace. Isaiah 9:6 reads, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders." And I love this. I love this verse. We could spend weeks on this verse. It says, "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." So, the next time you have a conversation where somebody says, "Jesus, he's the Son of God. Jesus is not God." Check it out. Isaiah 9:6 just told me a child will be given to us. Jesus is coming. And this child will be called Mighty God, the Eternal Father. If that doesn't speak of the deity of Jesus being God, I don't know what does. But today I'm focusing on Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We all need peace. We live in such a broken world. A place where if we're not careful, our peace can be very quickly and very easily stripped away from us. There are so many things that rob us of our peace. Sometimes they can be pretty significant things. I think of the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one. How about an eviction notice? A wayward family member? We constantly ask for prayer for my son. I don't know about you guys, but as we were sitting here and Stacy asked for that prayer request and Steve was praying, I'm crushed that my son has written us off. And he doesn't contact us, doesn't reach out to us. Sends me a Facebook and says, "Hey, I love you." But, so I'm grateful for that. But I'm crushed that my son does not pursue me. And as I was sitting there listening to Steve pray, the very first thing I thought was, is how much does God feel the same way when we don't pursue him? And it isn't that God is this taskmaster who's just, you know, wanting to nail us down as much as he's heartbroken that we would choose to not serve him, to not seek him. And I was really, I just thought, you know, Lord, thank you for that reminder. Thank you that you've given me a slight taste of maybe what you feel like when I reject you or I turn from you or I don't follow you. His love, I'll never understand, but I'm grateful for it. So sometimes the things that can rob us of our peace can be significant things. But I think other times, and probably more often than not, it's the small things that really steal our peace. How about a simple misunderstanding with someone? A harsh word that's maybe spoken to us. How about yesterday, the slow driver who was in front of me for like forever? Seriously, I didn't realize how quickly I can just go from, you know, singing a song on the radio to like raising my fist at this guy and just wanting to be like, get out and, you know, from in front of me. Or how about maybe a sermon that never ends? More times than not, I really think it's these small things that rob us of our peace. And it's really funny how that works. And I'm really, I think it's comical, but I had a conversation just yesterday with somebody about the sun and the moon. And if you think about this, the sun is huge. And if you want to know how big the sun is, it's been calculated that the entire circumference of the sun could hold 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. That's pretty big. Now, you take the moon. The moon has been calculated to be 400 times smaller than the sun. So that's kind of small. Kind of small in comparison. But what I find so significant about this and about my very good friend in my conversation is that how is it that something so tiny can yet block out completely the light of the sun? We just experienced it not too long ago with the eclipse. And that was one of the coolest things ever, is to stand outside and see the different shade of light and then to see this eclipse. This little tiny speck that's 400 times smaller than the sun was able to block out its complete light. And had it stayed there, the heat. Thankfully, it passed. But, and I think one thing that helps is that the sun is also 400 times farther away from us than the moon. But still, this little tiny object has the ability to block the sun, the power of the sun, for a moment. How much more, or how similar is it to the things in our life? That these little tiny things can block out what God is trying to do or steal our joy. And I want to share with you about last week. We wanted to share it in a prayer request, but again, I'm using it here, so we waited. Last week was an amazing week for my family. We went to Arizona. We stayed in this little suburb of Prescott. So I don't know if you know Arizona, but Prescott's a little town between Flagstaff and Phoenix. And it's a little town. And they, my brother-in-law, Tom, and his wife, Dawn, they live in a suburb of Prescott. So I think there was 4,000 people, maybe, that live in this little town. So we went, and we were going to spend the weekend, or the week, with Tom and Dawn. They moved from Southern California, which is where we always would go and stay with them when we go there. And they moved to this little town in Arizona. So we have stayed with these guys for many, we've lived here for 20 plus years, 25 years, and every time we go to LA, we stay with them. So I have gotten to know Tom very, very well. And Tom is in his mid-70s, and he, up to this point, was the most angry, bitter, awful man that I've ever met. And I don't mean awful in that he was so angry inside. You'd get him on a subject, don't ever bring up politics, don't ever bring up Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or it didn't matter. Don't bring up, you know, anything. And just kind of keep things pretty low key, or you're going to hear it, and you're going to hear it passionately. And so Tom was a very hard nut to crack. And every year we'd go out, every time we had the opportunity, I would take these little bits that God would give me and I would just talk to him, try to love him, try to understand him. And a year or so ago, I went out there and I had to drive to Santa Barbara from where he lived. And normally it should take an hour and a half, but it's LA, so it took 3.5 hours. So we drove up there, did some work on one of my boss's houses, and then on the way back, it was him and I in the car for 3.5 hours. So I had a captive audience. And I looked at him at one point, I just felt like God was moving, and I said, as I'm driving and we're inching along in traffic, I looked at him, I said, Tom, I go, dude, I got to ask you a question. And he's like, yeah, what's up? I said, why are you so miserable? And I'm like, I was kind of waiting to see what his reaction was going to be like, right? And he looked at me, he goes, what? I said, why are you so angry? Why? Help me to understand that. Dude, we've been brothers for how long now? We've known each other for how long now? Why are you so angry? And then he started to share. He started to share some things. And we talked about it. And then that was it. And I didn't push it. I let it go. And when we were prepping to go there last week, I just said, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm staying in this guy's house for a week. And my kids are there. And, you know, we're a loud family. Okay. The night, it was my birthday. It's Friday night. Thank you. We had a great day. It was a great day. We went to the movies, saw the new, whatever the movie was, the Avenger movie, Marvel, whatever, DC movie. And we came back, and Tom and I were shooting pool. And we were planning on Saturday morning to get up very early and drive down to Phoenix and to visit with my family, and then we were going to turn around on Sunday and drive all the way back home. So this was our last night. Tom and I are shooting pool. And he stops me. The ladies, Dawn and Stacy and my daughters, were shooting or playing darts back in another room. And Tom looked at me and says, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. And he said, do I deserve this? And I looked at him and I went, and I knew what he was saying. His life right now is golden. It's amazing. His life is he's set. God has blessed them so abundantly. And he looked at me, and he kind of got teary-eyed, and he said, do I deserve this? And I thought, oh, Lord, here it comes. What do you want me to say to him? And I looked at him after a couple moments, and I said, why would you not? Why would you not? And he sat back for a second, and then as we started to talk, one of my kids came in and sat down, and we're watching us play, and I went, and you know, parents, as your kids come in those inopportune moments, and you kind of go, and the kid's like, it's like, okay. I look over at Tom. He kind of looks at me. I ended the game, the pool game. The ladies came back in, and I said, hey, let's go throw some darts. 9:30, we walk into his little game room, and we start throwing. We throw a set of darts, and I said, I sat down, and I said, why would you ask me that question? That proceeded into a 3-hour-long conversation. And he shared with me again one thing that happened in his life, one person who hurt him. He was a young boy, and he had a stepmother who was brutal. And that formed him for the next 50 years. I love this morning, because I hear about forgiveness. I hear about God being in the business of miracles. And here I see one man who chose to not forgive someone for hurting him and has held on to that for 50 years. And so much so, like, I love this morning, because Steve's like, why hold on to this? What's it going to do? Well, you know what it did? It just welled up and festered, and it was just ugly. And it was to the point where it was so ugly, he couldn't even contain it. He was just angry and hateful. And everybody, you know, especially you ministers, especially you church people, you know, he had an axe to grind. And I said, dude, we got to deal with that. What good? I'm so happy because everything we've been talking about this morning supported everything that I'm saying is, I said to him, what good is it doing you to not forgive this woman? Do you think she really cares? He goes, she's dead. And I said, she don't care. She does not care. So why don't you just forgive her? And he kind of looked at me and goes, no. And I said, we need to deal with that or you're never going to be any better than where you're at. And there were many, many things we talked about. Many. And the Holy Spirit was so powerful, was so present. And the end of our conversation, he prayed to receive Jesus. I'll tell you what, I never in a million years would have thought I'd live to see that day. He was going to church because he was going for his wife. God put him in this amazing little church, and God gave him these amazing neighbors just a few houses down who are members of that church, and the husband, his name is Jack. Jack's an elder of the church. Jack has amazing stories. He's in his 70s. He's retired. Had tea with the Queen of England's mother, and I mean, he's got crazy stories, and they had Thanksgiving with us. And Stacy and I sat back, and we just smiled. We're just like, we watched God take him out of L.A. and put him in this little area, and he says, I'm not done with you. So Tom and I talked, and I don't know how. Well, I do know how. The Holy Spirit just gave me this spirit of boldness where I called him out on everything. Everything. And I was kind of like waiting for the blow after I would say something, and he just sat there and started crying. The man I've never seen cry. And I watched something happening in his life. And I sat there and watched it unfold right in front of me. I watched the Holy Spirit take someone who was rock solid, hard, calloused, angry, bitter, and melt his heart. I am still dumbfounded as I share this story with you. Because I can't tell you how many years we've had conversations. Can't tell you how many times we prayed for him, and to watch what happened. So, I'll for the sake of time, I'll wrap this part of it up. But we basically, he prayed, he cried, and I just hugged him and held him. And he goes, you know, the ladies haven't even come in here. He goes, I don't understand this. And I go, dude, it's 1:15 in the morning. And he goes, what? And I said, yeah. And he goes, where did the time go? I'm like, 3.5 hours. Yeah, where did it go? Because it was like that. We went to bed, and I went to bed, snuck into my room real quiet, trying not to wake up Stacy, and I laid there in bed going, God, what just happened? What just happened? And I laid there in bed, and I said, you know what, Lord? You know what would be, and I'm so trying to contain the emotion behind this. I said to God, I go, you know what would be amazing, Lord? Is if tomorrow morning he were to come out and confess you before men. This Tom's not going to do that. Tom is proud. Tom will not show that sign of weakness. He will not. He doesn't cry in front of anybody. He's not weak in front of anybody. And I said, wouldn't that be amazing if he would just come out into our small little family and just say, I've accepted Jesus. You know, I thought, oh, that would be so cool. And then I went to sleep, passed out. We got up very early. We were all getting ready, shared with Stacy what had happened, and we were just in rejoicing in that, quietly, you know, respectfully. And I went out to say goodbye, and Dawn was like, oh, Tom's in the bathroom, you know, and so I said, I'm going to go yell. So I walk into his bedroom, and I didn't want to walk around the corner. I didn't know what Tom was in. And I just yelled, hey, old man, we're leaving. And he comes out, and he says, give me 2 minutes, just give me 2 minutes. And I said, okay. So we're all standing in the kitchen. Tom comes out and bursts into tears. And he says, Pat, he said to Stacy and to the girls, he goes, your dad helped me last night. I am different. You know, and he broke down and confessed. And I sat there going, God, what are you doing? This is, I mean, I haven't seen this for so long. This is crazy. And he just hugged us, and he's hugging his wife, and his wife is like, she has no clue how to deal with this. This is not her husband. And he's hugging her, and they're crying, and he goes, come here, group hug. And I'm like, who are you? Yeah, part of me is like, get behind me, Satan. I mean, I don't know who you are, right? And I look at him, so of course we're hugging, we're rejoicing. Something is just crazy happening to Tom. The night before I went to bed, he says, can I ask you one question before you go to bed? I said, yes. And he said, why do I always want to cry when I walk into that church? And is that okay? And I looked at I kind of laughed, and I said, oh my gosh. And then I explained the whole thing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I go, dude, you're feeling something that you don't even understand. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And so he burst into tears. We all cried, we all hugged, and we left. Drove down to Phoenix. Stacy and I are talking the whole way down there about this crazy night. We get to our hotel out in Tempe. We're having a big party with my family for my birthday. And I come to the door, you know, Don and Tom come in, and Faith, my daughter Faith and her husband showed up. They drove from L.A. to Phoenix to surprise me. And part of Stacy's family drove from L.A. I mean, it was this big thing. It was really cool. So Faith and Vince are in our hotel room. Don and Tom come, and I look outside, and Tom grabs Faith, and they're talking. So Faith comes up to me and says, Uncle Tom just grabbed me and said, I accepted Jesus. And I'm like, I'm freaking out, just going, okay, you know there's a God. I know there's a God. Who is this man? And so Dawn pulls me aside at this party, and she says, Pat, I don't even know how to deal with this. I don't even know who this guy is. I've been married to him for 30 years, and I don't know this man. And, you know, we talked, and we shared some things, and then the rest of the night was just this great party. And I'm saying all of this because Tom did not have peace. He didn't know what peace was. He told me, Pat, I don't even know how to deal with what's going on inside of me. I can't explain to you what is happening inside of me. And I said, dude, you don't need to. I know what's happening inside of you. I've been there. I get it. And I was rejoicing, and I'm still rejoicing. Reached out to his pastor. He and I emailed each other. I'm like, dude, listen, here's what you've got to deal with. But it's been phenomenal. This man took one area of his life, one season, one little tiny thing in comparison to eternity, and it rotted inside of him. It stole his peace, and it festered, and it was awful. And it would have killed him. Without sharing and breaking confidences, it was killing him. And because he received Jesus and he accepted that, he was able to pray with me and say, Lord, I choose to forgive this woman. You would understand the depth of that statement if you knew him like we know him. He prayed that. I said, Tom, forgiveness is not about feelings. Forgiveness is saying, I choose to set myself free from this prison. Because honestly, the person that we're holding these grudges towards could care less. And in fact, some of the people actually thrive on the fact that they have got you, and you just can't let it go. And so forgiveness is not about that person. It's about us. And I told Tom, he goes, you know, I have every right to be angry. I said, well, true. You have a right. You were hurt, but you have no right to do this now, because now you're a Christian. And then I had to explain to him, what has Jesus forgiven you for? How, you know, you can't hold this grudge any longer. God will not let you. And I'm telling you guys, it was phenomenal. I've seen a transformation in a person that I did not think was possible. It's unbelievable. I have never, in all the years I've prayed with anyone or been a part of this scene, a physical transformation like I saw this last week. And I'm so excited about it. I shared with Tom this verse from Philippians, and it says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ." And I told him, just accept that peace and let it guide you. It's okay to let go. It's okay to forgive this woman. It's okay to forgive these people that have hurt you. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're less. It doesn't mean they've won. It means that you're letting that go and you're freeing yourself. This morning, I want to encourage you guys to do that very same thing, because every one of us has a hurt. Every one of us has a struggle. And I want to encourage you to give that to Jesus. I want to encourage you to let that go. Remember, I chose to name this candle Peace because Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. I oftentimes pray when life is chaotic, which you all know us, it's always chaotic. And I'm always praying, God, you are the God of peace, so please give me peace. You say, I have not because I ask not. I'm asking. I need peace. I can't manufacture it. I can't make it up. I need you to give it to me. And he does. This morning, Jesus came to give us peace. Jesus came to give us peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of struggling. Steve says, you know, we rejoice in our trials. We can. We can have that deep-rooted, deep-seated peace in the middle of no matter what's going on, if we remember who's in charge. And just say, he's in charge. You ever been driving somewhere with a family member and you know where we're going and you're watching the person drive and they're not going the way that they should? And you're like, you just missed the turn. I know where I'm going. No, you're taking the long way, or you're going to get us lost, and you have to, you know how tense that makes you feel when you're like, just get out of the way and let me drive. We get that way with Jesus. Sometimes he takes us down these paths. Sometimes he takes us down these roads. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to go there. This is not, this is Gilligan's Island. We're going to be lost, right? I mean, 3-hour tour turned into what? How many seasons? We're celebrating Advent, which is the coming of Christ. I'll wrap this up. We need peace. I need peace. I need Jesus. Money's not going to give me peace. Relationships won't do it. Materialism won't do it. Nothing. Those things might bring momentary happiness, but we know that happiness is very subjective. It comes and goes, but peace can stay. Contentment, peace can last and carry us. Our first candle is peace. The coming, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, the coming of our Messiah, who will give us peace when we trust him. This light will progressively get brighter and brighter as we light the candles. I'll tell you what, when we do it, if you've been to our Christmas Eve candlelight service, when it's dark and we light the Christ candle, and then one person takes that candle and they pass it along to everybody else, it's the most incredible sight for me being here and seeing all of the lights lit. And suddenly this dark room is very bright. The light will be getting brighter as we approach this celebration of the birth of Christ. So this is what encompasses the whole faith system. Our whole belief is this right here, the Advent, the coming of the Messiah, and then this right here. This is where it ends. We reflect on the coming of Christ, and we reflect on what he's done for us. He came, he conquered, and now we're waiting for him to come again. This morning, we want to reflect on the sacrifice that Christ made for us. So you guys can come up, the worship team. The Advent causes us to look forward. I love Christmas. I'm so excited about our service and just about fellowship and about everything that Christmas does. Last night I got to babysit Clementine. So it was just Papa and Clementine. We had 4 hours together, and we went and bought a Christmas tree. I wish I had the time. I would tell you the story. It was absolutely priceless. She did not like Santa Claus. One bit. But thankfully, Santa was quick-witted and said Knuckles, and she gave him Knuckles. But the thing that was so precious was watching her reaction to all of the lights, watching her reaction when we went and bought our little Christmas tree, and then seeing the little reindeer, and then seeing, oh, Papa, it's beautiful, and seeing this joy and this excitement. I love Christmas. Advent causes us to look forward. Sacrament, communion, causes us to look back. In our faith, we have the coming of Christ and what Jesus has done for me. Jesus has set me free. Jesus set Tom free. Has he set you free? And if he has, free from what? And if you can't say that he has, deal with it, and deal with it today, because we're going to take communion together. And what we do when we take communion is in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, what? This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That is such a powerful statement. A new covenant. No longer bound by works, by the law, by trying to follow all those things in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all this stuff that's impossible. It's all about Jesus. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes. This morning in Advent, we're looking forward to his celebratory birth. And we're going to finish this service by taking communion, thanking him that he came, that he became sin for us, paid the price for us so that we can have peace. And if you don't have peace, if there's a person that you're not forgiving, if there's a situation that still has a control on you, give it to Jesus. Give it to him. Choose to forgive. I'm not asking you to feel it and be all warm fuzzies and full of all of that stuff. Say, I choose to forgive. Lord God, please let the feelings follow. But that's your job, Lord. Every time I start to feel back, or I want to take it back, I'm just going to keep giving it to you. No, I forgave. I gave this to God. This morning, take a few minutes. These guys will play until the last person takes communion, till we'll come up and I'll pray. So take your time. Search your heart. The rest of that passage says, don't come to the table in an unworthy manner. May I ask you, are any of us worthy to take this? No. Absolutely not. We take it because we serve the Prince of Peace, who has paid the price, became sin on our behalf, and paid that price for us. And when we turn and we look to him, we can boldly stand there and say, I accept this. I am going to take this. And I am going to remember that I could never earn it. I could never be good enough. And you paid the price. And this cup represents your blood you shed for me. This bread represents your body that was pierced and broken for me, for my sin. And you know what? I take it and I receive it wholeheartedly, happily, joyfully, and I accept that peace because it's all about him. So this morning, take whatever it is that might be stealing that peace, that might be inhibiting you, and just say, Lord, take it. I don't know where you each are at with your own personal relationships with Jesus, but just get right before you come up to the table. And when you're ready, come on up and take it. Hold on to it, and then let's all take it together as a family when we're done. Don't take it if you're not willing to give it to God. If Jesus is not your personal Savior, don't take it. If you're not willing to give it to Jesus, then just forego it today and keep working with Him on that. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your body and blood. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you paid on my behalf. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this unconditional, unending love that I just don't get. I thank you, God, that I don't get you. I thank you, God, that you are so far beyond what I can comprehend that I can just stand here empty, just like Steve had shared, and I can step into this unknown, but I can do it having peace because, Lord, you are in control and you will never do anything to hurt me. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to let these things go and give them to you and leave them there at the foot of the cross and just allow you to be God and sit on the throne of our lives and our hearts. Be with us, Lord. Thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.